All right, you can call the meeting in order.
Okay, wish I had a gavel here. I'd say smack. Oh, my camera's not on. There we go. It's not pretty, but it's here. Okay, so I would like to call to order the monthly meeting of the Board of Respiratory Care Examiners on at 9:04 on Thursday, October 26th. I guess because of the setting we're in, Jack, we should do maybe a roll call introductions. Okay.
Sure.
So why don't you go ahead and start with that?
Okay. Chairman Kagan.
Present.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Present.
Board Member Brimhall.
Present.
And Board Member Cota.
Present.
Great. We have four, so we have a quorum. We can go ahead and continue with the meeting, Madam Chair.
Okay. First thing on our agenda is declaration of conflict of interest. So if anyone has any kind of conflict of interest, now's the time to speak up. I think we would have known that ahead of time, so I think we're okay to go there. Moving on the agenda, we have the approval of minutes from the meeting of August 17th.
I'm going to move to approve August 17th minutes.
We have a motion for approval. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, motion and second for approval of the minutes. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. We are moving on to consideration, discussion, and possible action on informal interviews. And the board will call the case of Andrea Stott, case 2023-RCE-0042.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I don't believe that RCP Stott is available for this meeting for the informal interview.
Would you like me to call the next one first then, since I see her here?
Yeah, we have three people here that have checked in. We have RCP Gutierrez, and then we have applicants Arthur and Lopez, both present.
Okay, so let me call a different case. Excuse me. So we will call the case of Deborah Gutierrez, case 2023-RCE-0006.
Present.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, if I can give the board a brief summary, if you don't mind. And we also have our Assistant Attorney General here, Elizabeth Campbell, to give some advice to the board as necessary. This is a case that we previously reviewed at an informal interview in August. The board ordered the respondent, the respiratory therapist, to undergo an evaluation. We issued an interim order. That evaluation was completed, and you have the report available. Because of the nature of the report, a lot of things are confidential. So if we do have any specific discussion of the recommendations in that, I will want us to be cautious of the confidential information and the HIPAA-related information that may be in there. This case started with a self-report from RCP Gutierrez when she had a criminal arrest back in. She self-reported a misdemeanor DUI. That led to investigation, revealed some hits in her past, some other self-reports throughout her licensing with us and in California. So that's why the board asked for the evaluation to determine competency and whether or not RCP Gutierrez could safely practice. You have that evaluation in your materials. And specifically the recommendations, I'm sorry. Bear with me here a second, please. The recommendations from a Dr. Harvinick are on pages, I believe it was 17. No, hang on.
It's on page 10 of the physician's report.
Thank you. And then, so it goes through some clinical findings. He addresses his belief about whether or not the respiratory therapist is safe to practice and make some recommendations. And that is on page 10 and 11. I'm sorry, page 22 and 23 of your materials. I don't have anything further. RCP Gutierrez is here. She may want to give you a brief summary of where she is and anything she wants to say in relation to the report.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Gutierrez, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. So other than what Jack has let us know, if you could fill in any of the gaps or you want to tell us what's going on with you now?
I don't understand what gaps you're wanting, but I will tell you that I have been under medical care. My current employer, I'm under, I see a behavioral therapist. I'm under medication. I don't know. I'm a respiratory therapist. I enjoy being a respiratory therapist. I think COVID kind of messed me up a little bit. And I'm not saying that what I did was right. I take full responsibility for what I did. Okay, and it was unacceptable. And that's why I self-reported. But I'm trying to improve myself. I'm getting better. I think I am, but I'm a work in progress. I have to be a respiratory therapist. I don't know what else to do.
Where are you working right now, Ms. Gutierrez?
And right now, honestly, I'm at Kingman Regional Medical Center. Been there almost 2 years. And then Bullhead City opened up a new facility. I just got hired at that one. I disclosed my DUI to them. They did a background check. And I still got hired there.
Okay.
I don't know what else to do.
Okay.
But like I said, what I did is on me. What I did was wrong.
I appreciate it.
You can't hold nobody else accountable but me. And I
appreciate you taking ownership of what you did. That's important.
Absolutely. But I'm working on it. And the thing was, when it happened, I'd already figured out how to get help, but it came a week too late. I knew I needed help. After COVID, I already knew I needed it. It doesn't make it right with what I did. It doesn't. But I continue to get help, and that's what I wanted, and that's what I needed. Medication wasn't going to do it. I needed counseling. So I'm working on it. It's a work in progress.
Okay. All right. Let's see what some of the board members have to say. I see Vice Chair Crawford.
Totally get it.
What you got, Mr. Crawford?
RCP Gutierrez, thank you so much for A, self-disclosing, and B, being here with us today, and then complying with the interim order. I appreciate all of that. My question for you is, you indicated that you've been with your current employer for 2 years. Has there been any type of disciplinary or any type of concerns related to your employment?
No, not at all.
Have you had any patient complaints or any complaints from coworkers during your term of employment?
No, not at all.
And have you had within the last 12 months, have you had a performance evaluation completed by your employer?
Absolutely, yes, I have.
Okay, thank you.
And the other thing is, this is Board Member Brimhall. Jack, and she's current with all her CUs and everything else in renewal.
Madam Chair, Board Member Brimhall, yes, there hasn't been anything else that has risen to the level of review in those areas or with her renewals or anything like that.
Thank you. And thank you for being here today, Ms. Gutierrez.
I want to be a respiratory therapist. That's all I know how to do. I don't know what I would do if I wasn't. I've been doing it for over 30 years.
RCP Gutierrez, this is Jack Confer. If you don't mind, you mentioned some of your employment status. Are you working at two jobs?
No, I'm actually working at Kingman Regional Medical Center here.
Okay.
And then there's a new hospital. Okay. They opened up in Bullhead City. It's more of an urgent care type of emergency care. And they don't open till November 7th. But okay. Based on my resume and what I submitted to them, they hired me. And mind you, it's a new facility. So I said, I'll go per diem. I think it's going to be more because this community is so small, it needs more.
So, okay. So you're going to work per diem for the new place while continuing to work full time for Kingman?
Yes. I don't know what else to do.
Hold on. I thank you for answering my question, but I know you seem a little emotional, anxious. Don't be. You're helping us understand your situation, right? So, do you think those two employers and the amount of hours that you might be doing for both of those might be a little too much given everything else that's going on? Or
yes, I took that into consideration.
Okay,
but I'm a respiratory therapist.
Okay,
I enjoy my job.
Thank you for answering my questions.
Board members, other questions or thoughts?
I have a question. Doing your therapy and having your medications, do you feel that it has made a good improvement in yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I wish I would, I tried to get help right during the months of COVID, but one of the doctors only wanted to give me Ativan. Ativan is a sedative. And it helped when I was at work during COVID, and I knew I needed help. I've known that for years during COVID. And then when I finally got here, it was amazing, but I screwed up a week before I got to see the therapist. I did.
Okay, so you kind of told us that part already.
No, here's my thing. Once I got on the medication, it was good. And then I went, guess what? I still feel depressed. And then they went, well, let's give you something else. And oh my God, it was so much better. I just didn't realize how much help I needed. And now I get it. And on the day, like I said, on the day that my incident happened, it was a week before I was to see the therapist and the doctors.
Okay. Vice Chair Crawford?
Going along with Board Member Koda's questioning, I'm personally am less concerned about what happened. I'm more concerned about what you are planning to do moving forward. So I'm interested in knowing, do you feel that you currently have a support system in place, whether that be family, friends,
yes,
medical professionals, your counselors, et cetera, available to you?
I have family support by my significant other, somebody I live with, who is a recovering alcoholic. So he works me through it. And he's 13 years sober. Not only that, my counselor, and then the medication, my doctors are helping me. I didn't even realize that I knew I needed help. I just didn't realize how much And the medication is like amazing. It opened up my eyes. And I was like, you know what? I've been messing up a lot for a long time.
Okay. And then are you currently drinking?
No, no, sir, I'm not.
Okay. Thank you.
Since that incident, absolutely not.
Okay. Board members, any other questions or thoughts or motions?
Mr. Confort, remind me, currently, is there an interim order for her not to practice at the moment?
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Crawford, there is not an interim order not to practice. The interim order was for the evaluation that you have in front of you.
Okay. So if I'm understanding, RCP Gutierrez has been working for Kingman Hospital for a little over 2 years. She has a history that the board was concerned about related to her social behaviors. It sounds as if RCP Gutierrez has not had any behavioral or disciplinary issues with her employer. And based on the recommendations of the evaluation, I don't see any reason to restrict RCP Gutierrez's license. However, I do think it would be of value to the board and to the RCP, or excuse me, to the community, for RCP Gutierrez to perhaps have quarterly evaluations for the next year supplied by her provider, or excuse me, by her employer.
Mr. Crawford, the only way that the board would be able to do that is if they were to place RCP Gutierrez on probation.
That's what I was going to question. Yep.
And a probation, just so the board knows, it's disciplinary and it gets reported to the national database.
So based on that information, I feel that that RCP Gutierrez has self-reported, I don't want there to be, in my opinion, I don't feel that we need to take disciplinary action. I don't want this to be a red mark against her record.
And I would agree with you because she self-reported, and I do believe that her employers definitely know of her past, both jobs. And I think both jobs have probably been monitoring her very closely.
I'm a little bit concerned, just not following up, not having any kind of follow-up with her. That concerns me a little bit.
Jack, with the confidentiality agreement that the board has through the discretion of the executive director, can the executive director of the board reach out to RCP Gutierrez biannually, or?
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Crawford, I haven't been in these statutes as much as I used to be, but I believe the provision for the rehabilitation, the confidential non-disciplinary rehabilitation was only for self-reports. So Elizabeth, hop in here. I'm looking at 32-3506, subsection 7. The executive director, on behalf of the board, enter into stipulated agreements with licensees for the confidential treatment, rehabilitation, and monitoring of chemical dependency. A licensee who material fails to comply with the program requirement shall be reported to the board and terminate from the confidential program. Any records are confidential or no longer confidential if the agreement is violated. And then it goes through several stipulations for the licensee. The licensee voluntarily agrees to participate in the confidential program. The licensee complies with all treatment requirements and recommendations, including patient in AA or equivalent 12-step program. Licensee refrains from the practice of respiratory care until the return to respiratory care has been approved by the treatment program and the executive director. The licensee complies with all monitoring requirements of the stipulated agreement. And the licensee's respiratory care employer is notified of the licensee's chemical dependency and participation in the confidential program.
So because she self-reported and it came through the board as a case, it does not sound like she would be eligible for that program.
I think she actually is eligible for that program. If she would agree to participate in that program, it would. So if that's the direction that the board wants to go, the board could direct the executive director and Ms. Gutierrez to explore Ms. Gutierrez's participation in that program. And if they're able to resolve it that way, great. And if not, because it sounds like the executive director can accept that kind of agreement. If not, it would return to the board for possible further action. It would, as Mr. Confer noted, require that Ms. Gutierrez's employers be notified of Ms. Gutierrez's participation in the program.
May I say something?
Yes.
Okay. I'm here for help. I like being a respiratory therapist. And I want help. Okay. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I will, if you can help me stay where I'm going to be, then that's what I want. Because I've been doing this for 30 years. I don't know what else to do. And I want your help. I want your suggestions. I'm not trying to minimize what I did.
Okay.
But I will do whatever it takes to keep my respiratory license intact.
Okay, thank you.
Because I'm proud of being a therapist. And like I said, I want help.
Okay.
And that's why I'm looking for that.
Okay, Ms. Gutierrez, we're good there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Confer, if RCP Gutierrez and you are in agreement with her voluntarily being part of this program, my recommendations would be that we do at least 2 check-ins a year with her current employer.
The stand, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Crawford, the standard rehabilitation agreement is a 3-year contract, for lack of a better word, a 3-year agreement. It includes reports from the employer on a periodic basis. It requires random unannounced drug testing, and in some cases up to 3 AA meetings per week. Now that's changed a little since I've chatted with the board. They're now doing virtual AA meetings after COVID and so forth. So we normally will do 1 to 3 meetings depending on the participant's schedule in this. So it has all of those things built into it.
And is that something that is different than the confidentiality agreement with the executive director, or is that the same thing?
It's the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I believe everything that that I've heard the board talk about, as well as the respondent, is all in that program. And over time, it's tailor-made. It may start out 3 AA meetings, and it may be reduced to 1 with compliance with everything else. Same with the drug screens. And the drug screens are, respondent has to go get, depending on the drug of choice, you know, hair follicle test or a urine done within 2 hours of us telling them to go get the drug test done. So all that is built in there. If there's a violation of that agreement, it would come back to the board in some fashion. But it is definitely doable. It sounds like RCP Gutierrez is amenable to that. I will say it's the terms of the agreement are not easy. If you've been in the industry for as long as she has, this is a big sudden change. So the start of the rehab agreement can be a little rocky. Not everybody participates and complies 100% with the agreement at the start. It's just what happens. So, but it's a process. I'm happy to offer that if that's the direction that the board is going wants to go in, and hopefully RCP Gutierrez is amenable to that, signs the document, and we can move forward. I don't know, and Elizabeth, I don't know what status that leaves this case in. Would the board dismiss the case or refer it to staff, or what would their vote be today?
The board's motion would be refer the case to the executive director to explore a confidential health agreement with the respondent, and if not successfully completed, then return to board for further action.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, board members, your thoughts on that? Go ahead, Becky.
I think that if Ms. Gutierrez is agreeable to this, then I think I'm in favor of it, because I think that she said that she's willing to take whatever assistance and help we need. And I think that this is, you know, definitely a check and balance for us and for the community for safety.
I agree. I feel better if we can kind of keep tabs on things. And, you know, our number one priority is the safety of the community. So I agree with that.
So do I.
So does anyone need to make a motion or want to make a motion?
Okay, I'll make the motion that I'm going to do the motion that I'm not sure how we word it anymore because of the new guidelines set forth. So is there like a program, like the nursing board, it's called the CANDU. So, but this is not the CANDU. Is that correct, Ms. Campbell?
Yes, this is, so there was legislation several years ago that basically made confidential health programs available to a variety of to all of the health professional boards, of which you are one. So it is, you know, for years the nursing board and the medical board had had very robust health programs, confidential health programs, but the relatively new legislation just expanded that to the other health professions.
We're just making a motion to kind of hand this over to the executive director, Becky, it sounds like.
And then if it doesn't work out, if the executive director and respondent are unable to reach an agreement, it will come back to the board.
Okay. So my motion is that the executive director, Mr. Confer, and RCP, Ms. Gutierrez, will convene and come to resolution. If it's not to a resolution, then it'll come back to the board before us again.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Jack, can you do a roll call vote for us?
Denise is going to help us with that.
Okay.
Member Brimholm?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Chair President Kagan?
Aye.
Vice Chair Crawford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. Good luck to you, Ms. Gutierrez.
Well, thank you. Like I said, I appreciate you. I just need some help. I want to continue to be a therapist.
Okay.
I'll reach out to you. To you and get you some paperwork, and you and I.
That'd be great.
Thank you for
whatever I need to do. Like I said, I just want the help.
Okay. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. The board will now call the case of Melissa Arthur, case 2023-RCE-0053. And we are under the heading of application investigations and initial review and vote for approval.
Madam Chair, members of the board, applicant Arthur is available and on the meeting. Melissa, are you still here?
Yes.
I'm going to give a brief summary, and then we can the board can open it up to discussion. This is case number 2023-RCE-0053. Melissa Arthur is the applicant for licensure. Applicant Arthur was previously licensed in Arizona. However, that license was revoked in 2021. Applicant has reapplied, and due to that revocation history and the time frame, I brought it to the board for further review, consideration, and final determination on the application. Applicant Arthur did appropriately disclose the previous license disciplinary action. She was originally licensed with us in 2008. Her application indicates that she graduated from the University of Southern Indiana in 1994 and obtained her RRT credential in 1995. Licensure history indicates that she was continuously licensed with us until about October of 2020. She was applied for her new license on June 7th of 2023, and it indicates that she was previously licensed in Kentucky and Indiana. I don't believe either one of those licenses are active and haven't been for quite some time. She was disciplined because she had tested positive to methamphetamines and opiates in October 2020. At that time, she did enter into an order to not practice. That license was subsequently revoked after a hearing by a motion to deem. The only thing that I noticed when I was going through the history here is that, and Melissa, you're going to have to comment to the board on this one. There may have been some sort of criminal arrest or contact back in 1998 when she submitted her fingerprint card. That was a hit from the FBI background check. But I don't have any further information of a conviction or diversion or anything like that. All I have is evidence of the arrest. If there was an arrest and conviction, that may not have been disclosed on this particular application. I don't have anything further. Page 97 and 98 of your materials has the statutes that are involved with this board review. And I am available for questions if the board has any.
Okay, thank you. My first question actually is for Ms. Campbell. If we revoked on a motion to deem, that means we had no contact with her for quite some time. Is that correct?
As a practical matter, probably. However, what it meant is that the board issued its complaint and notice of hearing. Respondent was given a period of time to respond to that in complaint and notice of hearing. The board did not receive that response within the required time. The board would then have set the matter for the state would then have filed a motion to deem, and respondent would have received notice of that motion to deem. The board would then have considered that motion to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. Typically in these situations, the respondent, although I don't know this particular case, would not have shown up at that meeting.
Right.
So usually there's a series of failure to respond and to participate in the regulatory process.
Okay, thank you. All right. Well, Melissa, first of all, thank you for being here with us. And we're going to give you this opportunity to tell us what's going on and you know, why you feel like your license should be granted at this point.
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much for everybody being there to listen. Back in 1998, there was an arrest on my record. It was expunged because it didn't, it was a misunderstanding. So, and that didn't, wasn't with my respiratory, it wasn't with medication, nothing like that. I was young. I've been a respiratory therapist over 30 years. And yes, I did not respond to that. Yes, I did get, had an addiction to those medications. And when I didn't respond in the year 2020, because I did get the notices, is because I felt like I wasn't going to get it back. And I was at a point in my life where things just were not going well. Since then, I got help and I got better. And then I actually took a job as a clinical liaison because they did not require a license. I had that job for about a year. And in the same time, I also developed Guillain-Barré. So I postponed it, my application to do that till I was completely better, because I was going through a outpatient rehab program, but I had to end it because of what was happening with me for the Guillain-Barré. So then this past January through May, I did an intensive outpatient program for which, you know, I am sober. I'm done with all that. I still see a counselor once every 2 weeks there. They have really helped me a huge amount because I have also been a therapist over 30 years and I miss doing it. And I swore I wasn't going to cry. I miss doing it. I'm so good at it. And I feel like I have gone through so much and I have done, when I talked to Jack, our, you know, director, and about getting my license back many, many months ago, he did help counsel me, you know, from the beginning to get some help, take care of myself and get some help there. And I did, and I finally finished all that. I would be willing to do any kind of, you know, hair test, drug test. I'm completely clean. I left the environment and divorced my husband. You know, I can't blame him for what I did because I took it. No one forced me. But okay. That was the best time of my life, and I've left that. So I just want to say, I really want to be, because I've never had anything come back on my licenses from Indiana and Kentucky, no disciplinary actions. And that was my first one. And I have gotten the help that I needed. And I so miss taking care of people. It's the one thing I'm really, really good at. And I'm very sorry I did not get to those meetings during that time to explain my side.
Okay, thank you. Board members, questions for her, comments?
This is Vice Chairman Crawford. My question is in regards to, you know, well, I'll make a statement first. I feel that it's the board's responsibility to be able to keep the public safe. And as a licensee of this board, we have to be able to regulate the licensees. And in my opinion, I feel that individuals or licensees who do not communicate with the board after having been corresponded with, if you don't communicate back, that individual is no longer regulatable. We can't regulate them if they don't communicate. And so for, you know, your response to why you didn't respond to the inquiries that were sent to you, or why you didn't respond to the board in regards to the meeting, that's what has me the most concerned. I appreciate that you went and got the help that you needed. Currently, if I understood you correctly, currently you're seeing a therapist every other week. You completed your rehabilitation program. Are you currently involved in any type of what's the word I'm looking for? Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, the IOP, Intensive Outpatient Program, I've already completed at their Community Bridges, and they have an adult counselor there that I see once every 2 weeks to keep me in check, to make sure that, you know, and I could always ask her to write a recommendation to you. The board here didn't think about doing that. So you can see that I'm staying, my sobriety is so important to me, and I am planning on going to the night session. So I don't know, I really want to be an RT again.
Are there any?
I will go to NA Pro, I am going to plan on going to those NA programs.
Mr. Confort, was there any disciplinary action noted on the previous licenses, either from Indiana or Kentucky?
Madam Chair, Vice Chair Crawford, there was not. And just to comment on the question or the statement about being regulatable, I want the board, and I think it's in the board packet, I haven't looked it up, but I put the interim order in there from back in 2020, 2021, when she signed the agreement not to work. So when this first started with the board back then, she was compliant, she was getting drug testing done. She signed the agreement not to work or practice the profession while we were reviewing this case. So I think that helps her in this situation where she wasn't not listening to the board. She agreed not to work while we went through that administrative hearing and so forth. So just an ancillary comment, but I hope I answered your first question.
Thank you.
Any other comments, boards, thoughts, motions?
So she's not been working, and how is she doing her credit hours to keep up if we did grant her her license to go back to work?
I mean, I've always been up on my CEUs in the past. So, of course, I'll be, you know, going and taking care of those too after I get my license back.
Jack, my question is to you. Can we grant a license with probation?
And Elizabeth is going to clean up what I say. you can. You can enter into various consent agreements to issue the license under certain conditions.
Okay.
The board, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm running out of power here, and I got a power cord. So I guess to the board, what level of monitoring do you think we need to have? This might be a little different situation than the fact pattern we had earlier today. Does the board think they need an evaluation completed with a recommendation? Those are the kinds of things that I'm thinking very about right now. But it all comes down to that safe to practice.
So my initial thought, board members, is, and again, my initial thought is I don't feel like I need an evaluation, but I do feel like we need to keep tabs on how she's doing and how things are going, and making sure she's going to NA meetings by getting NA reports and random drug screens. I feel like the order of probation would be appropriate in this situation.
I'll do anything, whatever you ask.
I appreciate that. We all appreciate that. That's a good attitude. Board members, any thoughts on that?
Madam Chair,
I agree. Go ahead, Becky. Sorry.
No, I agree. I think it's something that needs to be monitored still, and she's willing to accept it. And she's come and she's present and she has a good attitude and she's taking responsibility.
I agree with that too. I really appreciate that she is taking responsibility and that she's going for help. But I too agree that I would like some monitoring done to make sure she is getting the help that she needs.
Yeah, whatever you guys say, I will do it.
Okay. So does anybody have a motion?
One more question. How long is the probation, just out of curiosity? Or will I be talking to Jack about that?
Standard probation is 3 years with the ability to come to petition to come off after 1 year if you've been compliant.
Oh, okay, great.
It's not a guarantee that we'll be granting the early dismissal, but it's you have the ability to.
Well, if it was 10 years, I accept that too.
So, Madam Kagan, board members, I'll make the motion that we grant the license, and with the caveat that we will implement the standard order of probation.
Okay, so we've got a motion. Do we have a second?
And Mr. Crawford,
I'll second the motion.
Can I fill out that motion just a little bit? It's to offer Ms. Arthur a licensure pursuant to a consent agreement for a 3-year probation with the ability to petition for early termination after 1 year of demonstrated compliance, to include the requirements that Ms. Arthur regularly attend AANA, participate in random drug screening and that the board get quarterly employment reports from any respiratory care employer.
Yes, that is correct. Thank you.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Jack, if you can do a roll call vote. Or I'm sorry, Danita, who's doing it?
Vice Chair Crawford?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Chair President Kagan?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Great. Oh, thank you, Melissa. You will be in contact with Jack, and he'll be your point of contact with everything. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You guys don't know how I appreciate all of you. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
That's so easy to work with, and he's great. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Do okay. I stay on after the meeting or?
You're good to go.
You're free to hang up now.
Okay. Thank you again.
You're welcome. All right, the board will move on and carry and call the case of Efren Lopez, case 2023-RCE-0054. Oh, Jack left.
Madam Chair, I'm still trying to get my power to my computer. I apologize. Thank you. We're going to
Lopez.
Thank you. Thank you, Stacy. Madam Chair, members of the board, and I just lost my spot. I apologize. Bear with me. Okay, apparently my computer does not like more power. Hang on. Bear with me. This is case number 2023 RCE 0054. This case involves an application from RCP Lopez Jr. And the reason, applicant Lopez Jr. disclosed a disciplinary action that was taken in November of 2017 in the state of Texas. And in addition to that disciplinary action from Texas, he also reported that he had several DUIs previously. Due to these disclosures and the recent disciplinary action, that is the reason that staff forwarded it to the board for their consideration, determination, or whether or not to issue the license. Applicant Lopez Jr. submitted an application to us on June 21st of 2023. That application indicates that he graduated from South Texas College in 2009, and he obtained his RRT credential in 2012. His application reports no current employment, and that he also holds licenses in both Texas and Colorado. He did disclose that he had a previous disciplinary action in Texas on his application, and the board did receive that license verification from Texas. He also disclosed that he has a criminal history and arrest dating back to 2003. Applicant Lopez Jr. did reply to all of our requests in a timely manner. He provided a response and a summary of that history from 2003 up through and including the Texas disciplinary action. You can find that on page 157 and 158 of your materials. I don't have anything further. My concern in bringing this to the board was the history of the criminal contacts, the DUIs, and then the disciplinary action in Texas in 2017. That particular order from Texas is similar to what I would call our program. I would name our program for generally MAP, Monitored Aftercare Program, even though we don't have that language in statute or rule. Every state, every board has a similar can do, that sort of thing. So in Texas, he did the order, disciplinary order is him completing what is the equivalency of a monitored aftercare program in Texas. And if you actually want to see that order, starts on page 160 of your materials. Applicant Lopez Jr. is here present and is able to answer any questions. I don't have anything further at this time.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Lopez, thank you for being here with us.
You're welcome.
We're going to give you a few minutes to kind of tell us what you want us to know about granting this license.
Well, I applied, of course, this year. I wanted to expand my licenses to work out of state. Yes, I do have a disciplinary action from the Texas Medical Board. I went up to the board. I explained what happened. I gave all my my details, and what they concluded was I was supposed to do a compliance program for 1 year, which I did. I had a compliance officer. I had to sign some paperwork. If I recall, it was either like every 2 weeks or monthly. I had to see my compliance officer either at work or anywhere if I was off. That was completed. I had to do 4 hours of ethic courses, and I had to see the Texas physician health program. I got to see him only 1 day. I had to go to Austin, Texas. He evaluated me. That same day I got discharged, he didn't find anything wrong with me. I tried to get records, but it was too close already to this date, so I couldn't get anything. But other than that, I mean, last time I had a brush with the law was back in 2011. Okay. I haven't gotten in trouble.
Where are you currently living right now?
I'm in Texas right now.
You're in Texas. Okay.
Yes.
And your license in Colorado is in good standing?
Yes, yes.
There's not been any trouble in that state?
No, no, no. Since I started doing traveling back in 21, and in between contracts, let me take some time off. So this time last year, when I finished my contract, I was working in West Texas. I finished my contract back in December. So I was like, okay, let me take 1 or 2 months off and then go back. So in March, I was going to get everything ready. And I got into an accident. I got hit by an 18-wheeler. And so that delayed my whole process in traveling. So that's the reason I haven't gone to work. So for the meantime, because I was doing therapy and doing all that stuff, I started applying. So Arizona was like, okay, I'm in this group on Facebook where I could see job offers, and I would see a lot of offers from Arizona. So let me try to apply for the Arizona state license. But I knew of my background, so I had to prepare, get everything ready for you all, and I was going to report everything. I have nothing to hide. And so I applied for the Arizona state license. So for the meantime, I was like, if I apply, get the license, start looking for jobs again, I could be ready by September, October, around this time. So I was like, I spoke to Jack, one of the first when I applied. So he told me, okay, it's going to be around August, September, around that time because of my criminal background. So I was like, okay, so I'm waiting. So I'm like, well, let me. So Arizona was the first state license that I applied for, as far as besides Texas and Colorado, which I already have those two. So I was like, okay, I need to start looking for alternative other licenses. So Arizona was pending. So I was like, okay, let me start applying for other state licenses. So I started applying for, I did Arizona first, pending Hawaii.
Okay.
Oregon. So I sent those applications. I did everything. I sent fingerprints also for Oregon. And I would say like mid-July, I got Oregon license.
Okay. All right.
Hawaii, it took a while for them because I even had to send packets to them. So I got Hawaii September, I would say.
Okay, August. that kind of answers my question.
And then in August, I also applied for other licenses. Maryland even asked me for my high school transcript.
Okay.
And I just got it just last month.
Okay. Vice Chair Crawford, you have something?
Thank you, Mr. Lopez. If I'm understanding the documentation and your statements correctly, you have not had any run-ins with the law or any legal implications since 2011. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that's 12 years that he has not had any concerns. There's been no disciplinary action on your current Colorado license. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. The reason for the disciplinary action in Texas appears to be because of the 2011 incident. Is that correct?
That and the 2004 DWI had.
Which occurred before you were licensed, correct?
Exactly, yes. And 2003, that one got dismissed. It was dismissed, but it still comes out on the record, though.
I appreciate your transparency. So, and what I'm seeing is that there was an incident that occurred in 2011 that Mr. Lopez lost his license in Texas.
I never lost my license in Texas. It was never revoked. I was just, they did a compliance program.
Okay,
I had to do 4 hours of ethic courses and see the physician, and that was it.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Yes.
Personally, I do not see any reasons why not to grant Mr. Lopez a license.
I do not disagree with you. I agree.
I will make that a motion.
So we have a motion to grant the license. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion?
No, I agree with Vice Chair Crawford, if he's gone to all these different, at least five, six different states with no issues, I think this should not be an issue. And he's very transparent and he's present today.
Okay. Danita, can you do a roll call vote, please?
Vice Chair Crawford?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
President Kagan?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay. Good luck to you, Mr. Lopez.
Thank you. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will go back and call the last case, which is Andrea Stott, back to the consideration, discussion, and possible action on informal interviews. And that is case 2023-RCE-0042.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case was referred to informal interview at our from our August meeting. I have not received any response in the form of a response to the initial complaint or the invitation for the interview today. And I do not believe that she is present. Is RCP Stott available today on the call? Hearing nothing, Madam Chair, members of the board, I think that limits our ability to conduct the informal interview because it's an invite. It's not a mandatory thing.
Right.
And I think Elizabeth can hopefully provide a little guidance on where from here.
At this point, the board's option would be to vote the matter forward to a formal hearing.
So moved.
So we have a motion for a formal hearing. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Danita, roll call us, please.
Vice Chair Crawford?
Aye.
Member Cota?
Aye.
Chair President Kagan?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Elizabeth, is it appropriate or inappropriate? Can staff receive direction from the board on what might be an appropriate consent agreement in lieu of the hearing at this time? Normally what happens is we'll send something to hearing, I'll send out a notice of hearing, and then all of a sudden they start responding. Is there a way we can tie that up in a nice little package somehow now, or just hearing and then bring it back to the board?
Honestly, I'd like her to come to the board.
Well, that's not really a violation one or way or another if somebody does or does not attend unless we subpoena them to the board. So I understand you may want to talk to them and provide that interview, but I don't know how that gets us to the final decision.
So my concern is that we have a current licensed practitioner who is treating patients that worked, I'm understanding correctly, that worked while on an expired license. Do we know the number of days worked on that expired license?
We don't. We don't have anything other than the initial report. I don't have timesheets or anything like that at this point in time.
So my personal assessment would be that I'm leaning towards disciplinary action at this point, which my understanding can only occur at a hearing.
Or if she were present here.
Okay. I hear you. I'll withdraw my question, and if we get to the point of negotiating a consent, we'll leap that hurdle when we get there and bring it back to the board if necessary.
Could Executive Director Confer, could you like do some research for us to say, you know, could we find out? I think she worked for Diamond Pharmacy or whatnot to see what day she worked.
Well, absolutely. We're going to have, if this is actually going to go to hearing, I think our Assistant Attorney General is going to be asking for a little more evidence. So there is some more legwork that staff needs to do because of that.
Okay, so I feel like we had the motion, we had the second, we had the discussion. Any further discussion? No? Okay, roll call vote Or did we do that?
Yeah, we already did that.
As I said, I was like, that sounds familiar in my head.
I slowed the process by asking.
Okay, sorry. All right, so it looks like we're done with the cases and we move on to the executive director's report.
Bear with me. I'm on page 171 of your board materials. I'm just going to run through some quick stats. As of October 25th, we had a total of 4,149 licensed RTs in Arizona. We currently have a total of 241 open initial applications for licensure. 62 of that 241 are scheduled to time out in November and December, if not issued, meaning this, 62 of that 241 were submitted to this agency in December through May, December of last year through May of this year. So those are the ones that are kind of coming up on the end of their longevity as far as time frames and then submitting all the requirements to issue those licenses. Since August 1st of 2023, which is kind of our last board meeting, we issued 83 new licenses. We renewed 390 RTs. And we received 132 new applications since August 1st.
Wow.
So if you look at the total, so 241 are currently open. Over half of those hit the front door from August till now. I know, I think Kat's on here and she can give a little update, a 1 or 2 minute update on her thoughts on how things are going with licensing. We have a total of 23 open investigations right now, and I'm planning to have the majority of those to you for our December meeting. Kat, do you have any comments on licensing?
At the moment, it has been a very steady flow of new applicants. I haven't run into a lot of problems other than the delay that we had with DPS, which to my knowledge has been resolved, and we are now getting DPS reports in a much more timely manner. Other than that, it's just been very steady.
Alan, did you have something to add?
Yeah, Kat, can you give me an estimated time frame of when you started to see an increased compliance or adherence with receiving those reports from Department of Public Safety?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
So what I heard you say is that we had a lag, or there appeared to be a delay or a length of time that exceeded the normal time frame that we would receive responses from Department of Public Safety, which was decreasing the time frame in which we were able to provide licenses. And then I also heard you say, but it's been getting better recently. It's been getting better. What is that date estimated time frame that it got better?
Right. So the worst of it was we were having outstanding fingerprints from August. So it took roughly 3 months for us to get those reports back. I would say it was about 40 fingerprints that we were waiting for to come back within that list. Since we started getting the reports back, we are still a bit backlogged, but it is now taking about 60 days to get a report back from DPS, if not less.
And so we went from 3 months of the lag time to 2 months of the lag time, sort of period.
That's correct.
And that occurred after August of 2023?
Yes, so we got the August reports back this month. And once we got the ones that were being held back, they've started coming in weekly.
Thank you.
So it got a little better this month because we got the outstanding stuff back from August, the beginning of August.
Okay, thank you. And then the 62, sorry for all my questions, the 62 open applications that are scheduled to time out, that occurred between that December 22 and May 23 timeframe. I'm assuming that the reason they are timing out is because of lack of documentation provided by the applicant. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
And on that note, just real quickly, I don't want to get too far afield from the agenda, but there have been several nasty Google reports on our licensing recently within the last 2 to 3 weeks. So the board should be aware of that. If we get specific concerns from constituents or licensees or recruiters or anybody, I would like everybody to send those directly to me. I am still responding to those complaints. The unfortunate part is people do not like my response because I squarely place the blame on them for not reading the materials, not sending this stuff in a timely manner. And unless I get direction from the board, that kind of response is not going to change for me. It is their responsibility to get us the stuff on time. They don't like to hear that. And that is probably the thing that is triggering some of these complaints that are coming in to social media sites. So just an FYI from me.
Understood.
Any other questions on licensing stuff?
Not from me.
Okay. I know we need to get going here, so I'm going to wrap this up pretty quick. The next item is financial report. I think Vice Chair Crawford had asked for some specifics on this. And I think it came up with our discussion from fiscal 2022 outstanding bills. Page 172 is your out. So I've previously reported that we went over budget in fiscal year 2022. And when I say we, I'm talking about we, the board did. There are a total of $15,000 in outstanding invoices from fiscal year 21 and 22. That is the total amount that we have to get into a feed bill and have them get paid. All of these bills are basically invoices from state government agencies for accounting services, that sort of thing. These are not private sector bills. It's another agency that we owe money to, and it's in to the tune of about $15,000. I did get a refund from one of our vendors, from the database vendor, to the tune of about $18,000. For a fiscal 22 bill, I'm having some difficulties with our accounting folks and general accounting office getting that money applied to fiscal year 22 so we can take care of these bills. And we may not be able to do that. So it's good that we got $18,000 back. It's not good that we can't pay these bills with that. So stay tuned. Your overall budget and year to date is on page 175 of your materials. This is a cash flow report. Shows you where we are as of October with the total appropriation and so forth. We are doing very well with the appropriation, given current staffing and so forth. We're going to be, I think I looked at it last night, I think we're close to $25,000 under that I'm projecting right now for the end of the fiscal year. So I don't have any concerns with budget, cash flow, revenues, cash balance, or anything like that at the current time. Does anybody have any questions on any of that?
Nope. Alan, you had a question. You had your hand up. Did your question get answered?
Jack answered the question.
Okay.
And when I loaded this stuff last night, it kind of goofed up on board. What's the next item on my report?
ISA and staffing.
Oh, thank you. So I did include the ISAs in here. I don't know if anybody had time to look at them. This goes back to April for Danita and myself. The way this language was written for the length and the term basically says the terms of the agreement shall commence upon execution by both parties and shall continue until services are no longer needed by the respiratory care board or for up to 6 months, whichever comes first. So my non-legal read of that is that if you guys are interested in continuing the way we are, we need to update the ISA and run it out however long you want to run that. I haven't talked to board leadership much about this. I just need to get direction from the board. If you want to continue as is until everything gets set, or if you want us to start recruiting a new executive director. The take home for this, if you want to continue as we are currently set up, I just need a motion and a vote to do that so that we can renew this ISA for whatever period of time, 3 months, 6 months, 1 month, that sort of thing.
So if I'm understanding the language in that statement you just said, and I'm looking at it, it says, shall continue until services are no longer needed by the respiratory care board or up to 6 months, whichever comes first.
Right.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, we can continue as we're currently doing without having to have a new ISA, or would we have to vote on a new ISA?
The way, and Elizabeth, do you have this language available to you?
So this would be really between.
Got
this
it.
Is not something I advise on. This is okay. Something that would be from different section of the AG's office, but I can for sure get those people on board and prepared to give advice at the board's next meeting if that's what the board wants to do.
Thank you. Sorry for putting you on the spot. I probably should ask for the meeting. Alan, the way I read that, and I think I'm the one that actually wrote it and drafted it. I think it's the whichever comes first is the modifier.
Okay. And in this case, the 6 months has come before, has come first.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we need to do a new one.
My personal opinion, Jack, is that we need you. So I don't have any interest in discontinuing the ISA at this point.
I agree.
Well, what if we did an extension for 6 months? Because we've already hit the 6 months and we need to do an extension for another 6 months and review. So we're complying with HR issues. And then after that, we can see where we stand from, you know, all the open cases and from a financial status. And then we can start posting openings after 6 months, because that'll be a whole year that you guys have, you know, been so gracious to help out the respiratory board. And we're back on track, hopefully, by then.
Okay,
so we need a motion to write a new one for the next 6 months?
Either or. The language that proposed by Board Member Brimhall is good. Extension for 6 months, I think, works for now. We can get it drafted up and have the legal folks review it and go from there.
Okay, so do we have a motion for that, board members?
Okay. Do a motion that we extend for another 6 months.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? I feel like this can be an all in favor vote. So all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you, board. Appreciate it. Next item is staff update. This is I included an org chart, page 1021 of your board materials. This is the current configuration, which just got extended. As the board may or may not be aware, the administrative assistant position in the front office is open. It was open going back to about October 5th. We have, Denny and I did an interview. I offered a job to a referral from our previous licensing administrator, Kathy Stone. So we have somebody that's going to be starting that administrative assistant position either Monday or the following Monday, which I think is the 6th. So we have somebody starting, all new training. Kat, myself, everybody, Denise is jumping up and down because we'll get some hands and make sure some training gets done for that front office, answering calls, and that sort of thing. So we're looking forward to that. That basically has us full up as far as positions. So Denise and I are splitting what would have been traditionally the executive director position. We have Rachel Fox, who was with us full-time working half-time. She's going to school in Idaho. She's working from Idaho on a remote work agreement half-time and basically covering our renewals, our license verifications, and other things. Kat is the full-time licensing specialist. And in my opinion, Kat, you're doing a good job. You're really starting to hit stride, and we're really starting to move things forward. On an ancillary note, Kat and I went out to Pima Medical Institute yesterday and did a presentation on licensing and laws and rules for their graduating class. We're going to start doing that with all the schools just to get out there and do a little roadshow of licensing and start to regain that confidence. So that's a little update on staff. Anybody have any questions on any of that stuff? I know that's a lot.
I love it.
Centia. So I've been talking about Centia and the new database since back to 2021 before I took off, and the project really never got off its feet in the fall of 2021, languished through 2022 and first half of 23. We've kicked it off. We are meeting with Centia. We're doing configurations. This is the sign off on page 1022. This is a sign off that we've done the initial walkthrough. And basically this is a scope of work that where we confirm that with them what the scope is, what licenses we want added to this new system, what features, what functionality, that sort of thing. So we got done with that on October 6th. They are starting to work on data migration, and we should be up and running with the new system, the new database, before the end of the year. Part of this delivery is the functionality on the customer side. So new look and feel to log in to a dashboard for your license, new authentication and security to be able to log into that portal. People will be able to see real-time updates on their licenses, where they are, what they've submitted, where their renewal application is. Eventually, you'll be able to download your own wallet card, that sort of thing. It's much more user-friendly. And the configuration, I think, will give us some bells and whistles both on the application licensing side as well as on the back end for us with metrics and processing applications, that sort of thing. We're up and running with that. That should be in place and up and running before the end of the year, before December. And it's going to take a lot of training. We're going to have to roll this out. People are going to have to learn how to use our licensees, customers are going to have to learn how to use the system. So it is coming. It's going to get here. We're going to get it done. Any questions on that particular project? Thank you. And then one other thing. I think I've had a discussion with some of you on temporary licensing. I would like to, I don't have specific language, but we need to make changes in statute. I think we need a bridge, for lack of a better word, for people that might be waiting for the fingerprint results to get back, and for students. So that time frame between when you graduate, you get your RRT, and you can start working, or if they're waiting for fingerprints, I would like the board to be able to issue a temporary license. And I would like the board to, if everybody agrees, I'd like the board to send staff in that direction today, with a motion and a vote to seek temporary licensing next legislative session. I don't have specific language yet. As you know, it takes a village, and I need to get input from several different people for that specific language. But I want to start working on that, for the future. Anybody have any questions on that?
Alan has his hand up. Alan, if you're talking, you're on mute. I wonder if Alan is gone. Alan, are you still with us?
He just took his hand down.
He says he can't get off of mute.
Yeah, he says I'm here.
I can't unmute him.
I can call him and put him on speaker.
Are you able to unmute him if you hover over the letter A on his thing? Mine just says you can't unmute somebody else.
Okay, I got it.
There we go.
I could hear you. My apologies. My question was around the temporary license. I thought we had already drafted this language like a year ago or so. Maybe I made that up, but
Madam Chair, Vice Chairman Crawford, you may have. I don't have access to it. If you all did, I don't know if it was done at the board level or the staff level. But I can look around. Was it through the society or was it?
No, was through the board. I 100% support moving towards the temporary licensure, and I would hope that my colleagues on this board would support that as well. Whatever we need to do, Jack, to make that happen or to get that in front of the legislative body, let me know.
Okay. So it sounds like at this point we need to make a motion to go forward with getting temporary licensure.
I would appreciate it. That way I have it on the record. It's in the minutes. I can always refer back to that in the future to say that the board wanted to go in a strategic direction. And it's almost like a live animal. The language that we put together, I want to get some feedback from some of the schools to determine that gap between graduation, RRT, fingerprinting, that sort of thing. So if we can do that, Madam Chair, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, so do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a motion, we have a second to go towards temporary licensure again. Mm-hmm. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you, board. I appreciate that.
Can I ask why temporary licenses were canceled a long time ago?
We're not too far afield. I'm happy to address that. Madam Chair, Board Member Cota, there's been two instances of temporary licensing that I remember. Back in 2010, 2011, in that time frame, we had temporary licenses for new graduates. They would graduate from school. they would apply for and receive their temporary license before they had even taken the national boards. The board at that time identified that as a potential problem. There wasn't any testing examinations for competency for the new graduates. So the board voted for and removed that temporary provision so that students could get that MBRC testing done. And back at that time, it was just at the CRT level. So that was the first instance that it was taken away from our administrative code. The second time that we were able to issue the temporary licenses was during the governor's executive order during the COVID emergency. And that really opened up, it opened up temporary licenses back to the CRT level, as well as people that had retired or, and it opened the floodgates for travelers coming in from out of state. So the governor ended that executive order, and I think we were no longer able to issue temporary licenses around March of 2022. So the first time it was because we removed the administrative code for temporary license, and the second time it ended, it was because of the governor's order for the emergency, COVID emergency ended.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Any other questions? Nope. Thank you. Madam Chair, last thing I have is number 7, Executive Director's Report, DPS, FBI, and Danita is going to correct me when I say something wrong about field print. DPS has started a new digital scanning of fingerprints and a whole new system to be able to process fingerprints. And I actually think, Elizabeth, I think Nursing Board might already have availed themselves to this. I'm not sure. But the bottom line is it's supposed to allow us to, our applicants to submit fingerprints directly to the FBI turn around fingerprints results within 5 days. So we have started to train ourselves, get access to that system. And Danita, I think Danita told me that it might take 4 to 8 weeks. Danita, what's the time frame on this?
Well, we had a meeting with DPS and another agency said they were going on 2 to 3 months, still waiting for their approval. And DPS confirmed that it can take several months for that to happen. But we've all started it, so it's in their court right now.
Thank you. So the next part is after staff gets, they give us permission. We then need to change our licensing documentation, train the applicants how to access this DPS portal and submit fingerprints that way. We're not quite there, but it's supposed to really speed up fingerprinting. Elizabeth, did you have any comment on that, or is Nursing Board using that now?
You know, I don't know. Okay. I was never involved in that piece.
Okay. Great, thank you. I appreciate it. So the good news is fingerprinting turnaround times will most likely get better in the near future. We're trying to access that. We don't have total access to it, but the digital fingerprinting, they'll be able to go to live scan to a location around the state, get their fingerprints digitally done, submit that to DPS, and then we go in on the backside, so we won't be touching fingerprints anymore. We're going to say, go get your fingerprints digitally done, submit them to DPS. We'll pay a small fee to DPS to do that. And then we'll go in on the backside and see the results, hopefully within 5 days. The net effect of this is that the $50 fingerprinting fee that they're paying to us may go away. So we would... By doing this, we're going to speed up fingerprintings. We're hopefully going to reduce our cost to the applicant to apply, and it's a win-win. So more on that as we figure it out and move forward.
I love it. And it takes us out of being the middleman.
Yeah.
I love it. When is this starting?
Danita said she would have it up by like next week, I think. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's probably going to be several months down the road.
Unfortunately, delay lies with DPS for getting this up and running, you know, because we could get it up and done in a week or two as far as the correspondence and the website updates, but they're taking a little while to get us. They assign a number to us. We have to have all of our people trained up to be able to look at the fingerprinting, and it's a process, but we would want it next week, but it's going to take a little while. So very good. I don't have anything else. Unless anybody has any questions.
Do I need to do a call to the public?
Please.
Okay. So this is time for the call to the public. The call to the public is if any public any public person out there has anything they want to address with the board, now is that time, knowing that we can't really have a conversation about it because it's not on the agenda. Do we have anybody for our call to public? We do not. We're moving on to items to be placed on future agenda. Board members, if you have anything specific you want to talk about, now's the time to bring it up. Nothing. Okay. Before I adjourn, Jack, are we going to have a December meeting?
Yeah, I don't have enough time to get something set up between now and November that's going to be meaningful. So I'm proposing that we just do our regular meeting in December, which I believe would be the second Thursday? Yeah, second Thursday.
No, it's always the third Thursday of the month.
Oh, it is?
Always.
So that would be the 21st. Do we want to do it the 14th or the 21st?
I would.
Vice Chairman Crawford, I'm not available.
Wait. What happened to November? I said December. What about November?
I'm not going to have materials ready for November.
Okay, so no November, but now we're talking about December, and the third Thursday of the month would be the 21st.
And I will not be present for the 21st.
Will or will not?
I will not be.
Okay.
Vice Chairman Crawford will not be.
Okay. That
sounds like the 21st is not going to work.
I can definitely do the 14th.
I can as well.
Okay. So let's shoot on that one, Jack.
December 14th it is.
Yep. December 14th.
That's the plan.
Okay. And so I will adjourn this meeting. I'll smack my desk at 10:41. Thank you, everyone, for your time.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Happy Respiratory Care Week.
Happy Respiratory Care Week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.